This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Finding the funny. Finding the funny. With Ruth and Ange, finding the funny. So, Ange, I've got a question for you.
Right, I'm ready. I'm prepped.
Oh, I like it when you get a bit flappy.
Well, no, I mean, you've told me this is happening every week now, so I am prepared
okay.
for whatever it is you're going to throw at me.
What did you do on your secondary school sports day? Firstly, how did you feel about sports day at secondary school? And what was your, like, go-to sport that you always did?
Oh, Lord. I mean, sports days in general, whether you're in primary school or secondary school, are just a shower of shit, aren't they?
Well, I think primary is quite fun, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's still, you still get those elite kids, don't you?
Oh, the ones that, and then you get the parents' race. I mean, they're the funniest in primary school, aren't they?
You know, you get all those kids that are like freaking super fast or can do amazing, hurdles
Who were like only just five and are saying, I'm already running for county. Like, you know, I just did the 100 meter sprint for county this week. Get out of the way, you fuckers. I'm coming through. And you can definitely spot who the mum is of that kid.
Oh, for sure.
Because she gets up and goes, I was running for county by the time I was eight. Get out of the way.
Well, she'll be all geared up in the sweaty bit.
Lululemon.
Yeah, she'll have her trainers on. She'll be ready to kind of, sprint alongside said child and be cheering along. Come on, Jimmy, keep going.
That's
amazing.
Keep going. You're running for county already and you're not even out of the womb yet. Well done.
You're not even out of nappies.
Well, you know, little Jimmy, he was walking by 3 weeks old.
Yeah,
that's how sporty he is.
He actually walked out of the womb.
Of the womb.
Yes.
Of the womb.
I mean,
he was my fifth child, so it wasn't hard.
But he actually just fell out.
But what about, because secondary school sports days are shit, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
It's so shit.
If you're not sporty,
God.
We were not of the sporty vibe, perhaps.
Speak for yourself, actually. Speak for yourself, Ange. I was running for county by the time I was 10.
I reckon you'd be good at, like, the shot put.
Well, this is annoying because I was going to say... Slender, you've got long legs
and you're very long
jump, very long. Who's gonna do the 100 meters? Yep, Matt, you're really fast. Who's gonna do the shot put, Ruth? You're
Patty.
Perfect. To be honest, I couldn't even do that either. I was still terrible at that. Well, because I just wasn't very, I'm just not very coordinated.
No, you're not. I mean, you'd probably just fall over, wouldn't you? Especially if
you've got
to do all that swinging around.
All that bloody spinning.
You've got to hold the ball in your neck and use the other hand to stabilise yourself and spin around 20 times and then whack the ball out. I mean, how do you do it?
Screwed.
Yeah.
Screwed.
I mean, it's a good day if you've walked.
And not fallen over.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you've just managed to walk from A to B and there's been no incident,
I've had a whole day upright.
Yeah.
I've had a whole day upright. I am winning at life.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. What was your sport? What did you do?
I don't know. I can't remember what.
Do you know what? I reckon you'd have been quite good at the old long distance running.
No, I don't think so. No. I think I've only gotten better at running as I've got older.
Right, okay. I reckon you could have been like javelin, discus, shot put kind of vibes.
I think I would have just been like, I'm not doing any of it. I just want to sit on the grass and watch everyone else.
And snog all the boys.
Yeah.
That would have been you.
Yeah.
You'd have been surrounded by your harem of boys. which you always had as a teenager. Bloody hell, nuts. You know, you had this lad, God, Andrew's come home with Scott. Oh, I thought Scott was, no, Scott's back on the scene. Oh, Andrew's hanging around with Matt again. I thought, no, Matt's big time back in here, just snogging all the, oh, here comes another one. This guy's called Ross, bloody hell.
Patty, you're making me sound like I'm a right whore.
Yeah, you are. You're a complete. You should wear hoop earrings.
I was not a whore. I was not.
Yeah, yes,
out.
You were. Oh no, my God, no, Ange.
No. I was.
Do you want
not
to go there?
Out in that way.
No, but you were snogging all the boys.
Well, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with a snog, is there?
No, I know. But what I'm saying is that you were the girl sat on the grass, just like, guys, I'm not down for this. I just got like Scott and Matt and Anthony and all these people just around me. I'm just going to sit here and snog them. There's me being crying because I've got to do the shot put again.
Well, you know, Pats, I can't help it. I was actually talking to Joel the other day.
Yeah.
I can't remember what we were actually talking about now, but it was something to do with, like, you know, when I was younger.
Yeah.
And we must have been talking about, like, ex-boyfriends or whatever. And he went, yeah. Oh, is that one that we met at that, what's the thing? What do you call it? The thing that we go to with James for the films. Premiere. That's
oh, right,
it.
Yeah.
Was that man that
like,
we met
no.
at the premiere? And I went, no, that's Tone. This is another.
Did you have a thing with Tone?
Yeah.
Oh God!
You knew that,
hell, did I? Yeah. Listen, Ange, you were hot stuff. I mean, you still are. But as a teenager, I mean, you were definitely the hottest, weren't you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I was.
Oh,
there were hotter
mate.
Girls
have you seen
me.
No, out of the three of us, I wasn't setting the bar that high. I wasn't setting the bar that high. God, pipe down, bigot. Anyway.
Yes.
Shall we go into the Urban Dictionary?
Yes, let's do the old Urban Dictionary.
Okay, so this is my week this week to bring an Urban Dictionary.
Yes, it is, Pat. So what do we got?
What is a kilf?
How are you spelling that?
A kilf.
K-I? K-I-L-F?
No, C-I. C-I-L-F.
C-I-L-F.
A kilf.
Kilf?
Yeah.
A kilf. Now, oh, hang on. Now, is this similar to like a milf?
Right, you're on the right lines, Ange.
Right, okay.
You are on the right lines. The last three words are, I'd like
to
fuck.
To fuck.
So
yeah.
What is the C?
C. Cowboy? No. C. Some kind of person that starts with a C.
Shall I tell you?
Yeah.
Cartoon, I'd like to fuck.
What?
Now, obviously, the most obvious one would be Jessica Rabbit, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
loads of men.
And the women. And the women.
Oh, yeah, and the women. I mean, she's an incredibly sexy cartoon character, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The breasts. Like, breasts.
The waist, the buttocks. Yeah. Like, you do look at Jessica Rabbit and think, God, yeah, if you were, like, a woman in real form.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she is... So I got thinking, have you got any other cartoons that you'd like to fuck?
I don't think I've ever thought about fucking a cartoon.
Well, why not? This is not going to be great podcast fodder. Why have you not spent your entire 45 years thinking about cartoons you'd like to have sex with? This is outrageous.
Well, because it's obviously a very new Urban Dictionary thing that I've never
heard
of before. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, have you got a cartoon then?
Well, I think for me, Aladdin.
No way.
No. Too tiny.
Yeah, and too like, no. I mean, what are the trousers about? You know, the shoes and all that shit.
Yeah,
no,
the old harem pants. You're not into the Aladdin harem pants.
No.
What about the Beast when he's no longer the Beast?
No. Too smart.
No.
Too smarmy. You know, all those sort of Prince Charming characters. No, forget
well,
it.
Well, then you're not going to really find one then, are you? What kind of cartoon, other than Jessica Rabbit, which obviously it sounds like you would.
Yeah.
You're not really going to find one.
I mean, you know, if you think of like cartoons like Monsters, Inc. Well, no, neither of those. Not. I'm not going to go with a monster. I'm going to go with Woody or Buzz, am I?
Well, not Woody.
No. I did say cowboy though, didn't I?
You did.
Yes,
did.
So maybe he would be.
Maybe he is the cowboy you'd like to fuck.
I mean, I think it would have to be something along the lines of like your Batman or your Spider-Man in cartoon form.
Oh, now this is brilliant.
That's
yes.
what I think I'd go with.
Like your superhero cartoon. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, you've really yeah. thought. That is brilliant. That is yeah. absolutely brilliant. So who would you pick out of that vibe?
I think I'd actually go Batman.
Batman, yeah, me too.
I like the black. I like the, you know,
the dark
face coverings.
Yeah, and you like the kind of tumultuous. And, you know, the thing is, Batman isn't really a superhero, is he? He's just a really good
He's
guy
a good
that
guy.
Does good stuff. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
I do
also, I think Spider-Man would irritate me with his webs. You know, he'd be like firing
constantly
webs at
webbing.
Me.
It'd be,
you know, I'd be like,
webbing
leave
everywhere.
Me alone, Spider-Man. We've done this now. I'm not doing it anyway. You just web me and bring me back, wouldn't he? Forget it. I'm doing this with you, Ange. I don't care. We've done it 10 times now. I want it again.
It'd be like constantly, get yeah. back here now.
Get back here.
Yeah.
Come on, get down, get your clothes off.
I do think, though, that upside down kiss that they do actually in the Spider-Man film where he takes his mask
yeah,
off,
is
that
actually,
is quite sexy.
Quite, yeah, it is.
That is quite sexy. And I
but
do
I just
think,
feel like Spider-Man just is a bit, I don't know, a bit wet. You know, he's a good man.
You?
He's got good webs. He obviously does yeah. good stuff. But I think Batman would, I think he'd be sort of a bit dirty.
Oh, well, I think there would be a lot of darkness in there, wouldn't
darkness.
There?
Darkness. And I like the darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want a bit of meat. I want a bit of darkness. I want a bit of dirt.
I want to get down and dirty. I want to rip that mask off of Batman yeah. and have him look me in the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I thought that was quite a funny one, a kilf.
That's a very good. Yeah, I have never heard of a kilf, but I was quickly on the right
Oh,
path,
you were. Yeah,
I
you
pass.
Got there
yeah.
very quickly. And yeah. I think this is a good conversation. Like, you know, I think I'd love to hear if any of our listeners have got any cartoon characters
kilfs.
That they like, you know, was it Popeye? Popeye. Or maybe Tintin, that's another yeah. popular one, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, if any of you have looked at cartoon characters, male or female, and thought, oh yeah, I would really, if they were like in real life. Form,
yeah.
I would absolutely love, what about the guy from Moana? What about him? He's quite,
no.
I think he would, no, not for
the
you,
big
you're not
guy,
down for that.
The big guy
yeah.
with the long hair, no.
Yeah, no, you're
too
not
big.
Down for that.
He's gone too
sure.
big there.
Too big. Yeah. Too big. Too big. Muscly.
Yeah.
Too muscly, yeah.
Yeah. He's just huge,
yeah.
isn't he?
Yeah, he is huge.
I don't want anyone huge.
Okay, so if you've got a cartoon character that you'd like to fuck that you've looked at a lot and thought, yeah, I want to go for this, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com.
Now we're into Ange. Tell us, what is getting on your shitting tits?
Right. Now, this has come about a bit from our night out on Friday.
Oh, okay? Right. It's hot off the press.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the thing that gets on my shitting tits, or has been getting on my shitting tits,
yeah,
is people who do not bring a bag on a night out.
Oh God, that's me.
That is you.
You're directing this
yes.
completely at me. You're saying I'm getting on your shitting tits.
Well, in those moments, yes.
Why?
Because you actually even, so we had the debacle with you not having any proof of your vaccinations. That was number one.
Well, you were only lucky because you happened to have that bit of card.
No. Patty, see, this is the thing. It's not luck.
It's not luck.
Right? It's called having a bag with a purse that you can keep things in.
No, just find that bollocks
you,
so shit.
You rock up to everything.
Yeah, no bag.
With nothing. Yeah. And then you even actually said to me, because I had a bit of a go at you about it on Friday night.
Well, because
like,
we needed passports, didn't we? And I didn't have my... We needed some kind of ID.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like, why do you not bring this shit with you? I don't. Well, if I bring it, I'll just put it in your bag.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you are not. I am the...
No. The likelihood is, Ange, we are a duo. We are the female Ant and Dec. Yes, I did say that out loud. I did say that out loud. And what? We are now a duo, right? So I can just think, oh, I'll take my driving license, whack it in my pocket. When I get there, Ange, can you pop this in your purse for me? Cheers, love.
And if you know, I'm going to buy you a bag.
No, right, don't bother.
I have a little bag. You know the bag I have. It's just little. It goes over me.
I know, but can I make a point here? This is another fat girl problem.
Why? Why is it?
Because, right, so crossbody bags do not look good on the larger lady, right? They don't.
Surely if you get one that's got a long enough strap.
But that is the difficulty, Ange. Finding a plus size crossbody bag is difficult.
Well,
it's hard.
I'm going to find one.
Well, if you find one, I'll wear it.
Yeah.
But what tends to happen is I put a crossbody bag on and it sits above my hip and I look like a prick.
Right. But I'd rather you look like a prick.
No.
And
no.
Have your shit in your bag with
no.
you.
No. Do you know why I've dropped a bag even more?
Because you're a prick.
No, Apple Pay.
Yeah, see, that
since the introduction
me.
Of Apple, why?
Because it just basically means people like you just go, oh, I just need my phone.
Yeah, I just need my phone. Phone, no. Lipstick, chewing gum, headphones. They all fit in my leather jacket pockets. That's
I
it.
Don't give a shit. Because we are living in a COVID world now, right?
Yeah.
You are going to have some kind of proof with you. Yes, you
well,
can
I've
have
got
it
now. I've logged in. I've logged back into my app, so I've got it now.
Right, fine. So, okay, that bit's sorted.
Yeah.
What about your ID?
Well, this is where we could come into a sticky wicket.
Exactly.
But I'm not getting a bag just for the times I might need some ID. That's
because you should carry it. You should just have it with you all the time. Just have your ID with you because you might get stopped by the police. Yeah? That might happen. You might try and get into a pub and they're like...
You were like, you might get stopped by the police. Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah? Exactly. That might happen.
That might happen. Right. You might try and get into some sort of venue and they'll be like, we need some ID. Shit, I can't go in now because I ain't got anything with me that shows my ID.
Well, I think I've got a picture of my passport on my phone.
Well, you said that on Friday and you couldn't find it. So don't give me that bollocks. Right? So it just, and there are, so you do it and I've seen it done numerous times. I've had other friends, I haven't got a bag. Can I just put that in your bag, Ange? And I just want to go, no, you can't.
But
bring your own
bag. But
what if
you're of a larger lady and it ends up, you know, I look like I'm trying to be one of those road men. You know, the ones that wear the pointless little like bum bags across there. So I look like I'm trying to be a sophisticated nearly 40 something. I end up looking like a roadman because the bag sits like right above my hip. So then this is bull. This is complete BS.
I don't think you've done enough research into crossbody bags for the larger lady.
Maybe I might just start wearing one of those bum bags crossbody.
That's what I was thinking. I would actually find that quite entertaining if you actually had one of those bum bags.
We also had a dickish behaviour in from Charlotte on the gram, and she said manspreading/mansplaining, which I love these two.
I think some men do it on purpose.
Same, I do too.
I think it's their way of going, yeah, I'm sitting down. Yeah, I've got a huge dick. Yeah,
yeah,
I've got to spread my legs. Yeah, are you having a look? Yeah, you know, all that sort of, you know, check me out shit. I think a lot of that is.
Yeah, I think there is a certain type of man, isn't there, that's like,
do it.
That is sort of saying to you, this is my groinal area.
Yeah.
And if I see you flash a look down there, that means I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to open my legs wide to try and draw you in to my crotch.
To my crotchal area. But mansplaining.
Yeah.
God, have you ever had a guy do that to you?
I don't know if I probably have. I just can't
remember.
You know,
when it's like, I don't know, you're on a Zoom call or something and they're like, no, you need to press the camera in the... Yeah, I know. I've literally just come on the call. I haven't put my video on yet. I don't know if you can see it, Ruth, but there's a little camera down. And you're going, yeah, I know where it is. I haven't... Yeah, you got to click that, because I don't know if you know, but that picture is of a camera, which means your webcam. Yeah, I know, mate. And it's when you say to them, yes, yeah, I know. I'm a woman, I'm not stupid. And they carry on explaining it. Yeah. I'm like, I've said I know three times.
Again, I just think it's like this, just, it's just these massive egos that a lot of men have.
Yeah, why are men so egotistical?
Yeah, I think, again, it's the penis. That's what it is. I think the minute you've got one of those, that's it. Massive penis.
I mean, you actually do genuinely think you're Bertie Big Bollocks.
Yeah, that is exactly it. Yeah.
And it's like if I've come to you as a guy and said, I don't understand this, can you help me to understand it? Fine. Yeah. Talk me through it. If you're explaining something to me and I go, yeah, John, yes, I know. Yeah, no, yeah. John, I've got, yeah, I know. I used to work in that arena. I know about technology. Mm. Yes, John, I've got it. And they talk over you.
Do you think it, I think it's predominantly around techno.
Oh, definitely there's a big techno mansplaining vibe, isn't there?
Yes. They think they are like some gods of techno.
Well, I think techno and football.
Yes. Yeah. Or sport. Techno and sport.
Yeah, techno and sport. That would probably be it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like, I love it when I meet girls who know more about football than the guys they're talking to. And then the guy says something like, I don't know, Phil Foden plays for Everton. And they're like, no, he doesn't. He plays for Man City. And you're just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
God, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. You didn't know that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I don't even have a dick.
When you see women really cut men down on sport, I just think, oh, I love that. I love that so much. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, when you see women cut men down on anything, it's really fucking
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite a moment.
Yeah, it's quite a moment. Often of arousal, let's be honest. I'm with you, Charlotte. Manspreading and on planes is the worst, or in the theatre. God, if you sit next to a guy in the theatre that cannot close his legs, like,
or on the train, like, you know, all those trains and shit. That's
trains,
another place
all of
where
that.
They're all out.
Yeah, horrendous. They're all out in force. They're all out with their groins
out. I mean, I'm going on the train tomorrow. I am going to have some good looks for some
manspreading. Oh, defo find the manspreaders. Yeah. Defo, for sure.
I remember there was this one guy, I was on the train once, and actually, I mean, he did have amazing legs and he was in shorts.
I do love a good leg on a guy. I mean, Jack Grealish.
I mean,
amazing.
He can spread everywhere. If
he can spread anything of mine, for sure.
But yeah, I remember I was sat opposite him. So it's like one of those moments where you actually just, you actually can't look anywhere else. Or your eyes just won't let you look anywhere else. And he was there in these shorts with these massive legs.
Oh,
and I mean, literally it was... It was just there. It was just, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it was quite.
Did you look at it a lot?
I really tried not to. I kept thinking, you know, he's doing this on purpose. He wants me to look at his crotch. He wants me to look at his legs. I'm not going to look there. I really
Having
tried.
Having a full-on chat with yourself. Yeah. No, Ange, he
Stop
wants you to get
Stop
engrossed into his
Stop
penis.
At his legs and his crotch. Just look out the window. Look at the man stood there. He's got his rucksack on. Just look at him.
Look at the man stood there. He looks like Russell from Up. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on him.
Russell.
Yeah. Yeah. But that internal narrative of like, it's so hard, isn't it? Because when you start doing that, you can't stop looking.
I know. It's like when people have got a massive spot on their face or something and you're talking to them and you just keep, don't look at the spot. Don't look at the spot. And I think as much as like the man on the train, you know, I mean, he was a good looking guy, but I
was
kind
he?
Of, he
Do
knew.
Do you think he knew he was a good looking guy?
100%.
Oh, God. He was fit, but you know it.
Yeah, exactly that, Pat.
Exactly.
Which I think is why internally I was thinking, do not look.
No, because you don't want to give him the satisfaction,
no.
Do you?
I know what you're doing, mate. I know what you're doing on this train in your shorts.
You're trying to get me engrossed.
Yeah.
I'm
not doing it. I'm not doing it, Jeffrey, today. Okay, I'm not doing
it. He sat there thinking, satisfaction with every erection. And you're thinking, no, Jeffrey, actually, I'm more into Russell from Up, so fuck yeah. you.
I like rucksacks.
I like rucksacks. Amazing. Anyway, we're now coming into our more serious segment that we do every week. And we thought this week we'd talk a little bit about friendships. Because, mm-hmm. Ange, you had a message from somebody who wants to remain completely anonymous, which is understandable.
Yes.
But you had a message in, didn't you?
And I did.
We thought it'd be a good thing to try and tackle.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had this message through from someone on the gram. And she says, okay, so... my bridesmaid has been really distant since our wedding 2.5 years ago. I've asked if she's okay, and she said she wanted to give us space to be husband and wife. Lockdown hit, and obviously everything has been weird and hard, etc. I've now received an invite to her wedding, which was meant to happen last year, but it's now at the end of October. My husband and I have been invited to the evening reception, so to which I feel really hurt about. I've heard nothing about her hen do, etc., even though I joined a virtual one last year. So, my question is, do we go? It's nearly 3 hours drive and means getting a baby and puppy sitter. Do I decline, or do I pretend that we didn't get the invite, given that I've not heard from her? And, yeah, we just thought that was a... I think that's a dilemma and an issue that probably happens a lot. In you know, friendships and... It's so tricky. I think especially with like weddings and stuff, I think it's just such a difficult space, isn't it?
Well, friendships are really complicated, aren't they?
Well, I don't think they have to be, but I think sometimes they can be. And I think,
I don't think all friendships are complicated, but they can be complicated, can't they? Because often, you know, people, you know, I've got friends who have been really hurt by other friends in their life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who have maybe mistreated their trust, who have, you know, said and done things to them. And it is like a breakup, isn't it? Mm. If you've been that close to somebody to be your bridesmaid and you have walked maybe other difficult times with them, it's like a breakup.
Yeah, it is. And I think especially for this person who, you know, like you say, you don't, to me, if I ask someone to be my bridesmaid at my wedding, that means a huge, that's a Definitely. Big deal. And it means that you're actually somebody that's really important to me Absolutely. In my life. And I want you to be part of this day.
Yeah.
To then find 2.5 years on that actually, for some reason, to which she doesn't seem to know why, it's not like anything particularly happened, or other than the fact that, you know, we've been limited with what we can, when we can see each other and how we can see each other, given the 18 months we've lived through. But to then sort of feel like actually I'm being treated in a very different way, and I don't even understand why. And I think sometimes that's the thing with friendships is You think you're really good friends and everything's hunky-dory, and then something happens and you're like, okay, well, this obviously isn't what I thought it was. And it's just, I mean, if I was this person, I actually think this would be a good point to try and have a conversation with her.
I was going to say the exact same thing, yeah.
Because I just think, you know, not just declining the invite or making out you didn't get, I just think... that's not really going to sort this out, whatever it might be. And it might be that actually you try and have a conversation and it's shut down and she doesn't want to talk. And in that case, that kind of, that gives you your answer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That for some reason things have changed and it's not the same friendship that you thought you had. But I think not trying to address it in some way is probably not the best thing to do. And this is a good point at which you could try and have some sort of conversation with
her. Well, I think for me, it depends. My question to this person would be, where do you want this friendship to go? Like, do you want to... Have you now come to the conclusion that actually your friendship... You know, and some relationships are only for a season, aren't they?
Yeah,
as hard as
exactly.
that is,
yeah.
some relationships are only for a season. They're only for a time in our life. And you know, that person is brought to us for whatever reason to teach us something new, to, you know, there are friends that come and go,
but come for a while and go.
And on some level, that's, if people don't end up hurt or bereft or broken from those relationships, on some level that's okay. I've had friends in my own life that, you know, we've drifted, or there hasn't been any big like heartache, we've just perhaps not been into the same things anymore. But my response to this person would be, what do you want out of this? Are you happy to just say, now that was for a season in my life, I'm not going to go to her evening do and I'm just going to politely decline it and get on with my life? Or do you think there's some I mean, I suppose by the fact that she's messaged us, there's some unrest here, isn't there? There's like churning up of feelings.
I think there's just there must be an element of wanting to know why, like, what's happening, like, why is there this shift
closure? What almost. I thought, even if they don't become close friends again, closure exactly. almost.
And I think that's I think there's no harm in trying to have that conversation with her, or I don't know. I mean, sometimes people find those things difficult, and I totally get that. But you know, I think if you're able to find a time where you can just have a chat on the phone, they obviously don't live near each other, given what she said about the distance. But having a chat on the phone, or even, I mean, sometimes I think, you know, sending an email, or although sometimes that feels, but I think it's a good way of being able to write down and articulate like how you might have felt over the last couple of years, and feel a bit hurt by the, you know, the change in your friendship. And is there, sometimes I think that's, that is easier to do that if you don't feel you can actually kind of confront or have a, an open conversation with whoever this person is. But I just think you deserve to try and understand what's happened or what's changed. And, you know, it might be that actually, like you say, things have just changed and you've drifted a bit, and it's not the friendship it was, in which case that is your closure and you just go, okay, that's fine. You know, that's how it is. Well, I'll move on. But I think not knowing sometimes... hurts more, you know, than
because closure is so important, isn't it? Like in any relationship that's been significant to us, you know, the sense of having stuff tied up, or you know, even when marriages end, you know, I've heard friends say, well, we went to couples counselling, and it was the best thing we did because it gave us both some closure and an opportunity. You know, we went our separate ways. It didn't, in inverted commas, save our marriage, but it left us in healthier places. So I definitely think, as human beings, we like closure. But and I would love to say, if you, to this person, if you feel confident enough to get back in touch with us once you've tried to resolve this and let us know how it pans out, we would absolutely love to hear from you on our socials. Like if you decide that you'd like to share it with us, kind of the because outcome, we'd love to know what happens.
And I think there'll be so, you know, so many people that will have had similar experiences,
similar situations,
you know, like you said, we've all had those friendships that haven't quite been what we thought they were, or things have changed. It is really, and I think kind of to know, like you said, Pat, if she feels able to,
I'd love to find out.
It would just be really nice to know how that does kind of resolve itself.
Now, Ange, quickly before we go, we've got to ask. We've said this will be also an accountability space. Talk to us about your therapist.
Okay, so I have a little bit of news.
Yay!
So I have made contact with two out of the three, because I can't find the flipping details of the third,
right?
And I am speaking to one of them tomorrow.
Were any of them the one I gave you?
No.
Oh, screw you.
I'd actually forgotten about that one.
Screw you.
Well, you can give me those details again, because, you know, it's good to have a little bit of a
it is good to have a few.
So yeah,
amazing. So you're speaking to someone tomorrow?
Tomorrow, and I'm waiting. I haven't heard back from this other one yet, because there was one lady I called and then sent her a text, and the other lady I've emailed.
I can't wait to hear next week how the conversation with this woman goes tomorrow. And I'm not actually going to ask you off of the, not because I don't care. I'd love to phone you tomorrow and find out how it went. But some things we should say for the podcast, shouldn't
we? Footpod.
Footpod.
And also, it's been really nice, actually, because quite a few of our sort of listeners or people that follow have kind of given me, Ange, have you done anything about that yet? Ange, don't forget you need to sort that therapy out. And it's just, it has
been. Well done, crew. Well done, crew.
It's really, and they've been so lovely in the way that, you know, like one lady said, like, it'll be the best thing you do. It'll be the best thing you do.
Will.
You just make sure you do it and take that time for yourself. Yeah.
It's single-handedly the best self-care I've ever given myself.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. In a very weird, like, it's painful. Like, it's not, if you use your therapy sessions well, it's by no means easy. It's not like doing a face mask or having your nails done. Like, it is deep, deep, like, work that you, the difference you will feel in yourself is unreal. And it's, you know, in the process of it, in the middle of it, I sort of liken it sometimes to squeezing a spot. You know, when you get to that bit with the spot where you want to stop. And it's just before all the like pus is about to come out and it hurts so much. You're like, I've got to stop this. But if it's going to get worse and the spot's not going to go away. Like, you've got to push through that and think, when I squeeze this properly and it heals, it's going to be so much better than if I leave it at this point. So, you know, it's difficult and it's painful, but it will be the best thing you've ever done for yourself.
Yeah. No, I'm in the right zone.
Yes, mate.
And I'm very excited, grateful to, those of you that have just dropped me a little message and given me a little nudge, because that's been very helpful to me.
We have the best listeners, don't we? Best listeners. We're so lucky.
We really do. We are.
We've got to the end of another episode, haven't we?
We have, mate.
Can't believe it.
Job done.
There's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook, just search Finding the Funny Podcast, or you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com.
But we hope you have a fabulous few days, and we will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.